Hey everyone, welcome to Recovery Rocks. This episode is sponsored by the folks at Sour Humanoid Vinegar.
And Sour
when I say the folks, I mean my partner who just started this amazing vinegar brand. Sour Humanoid is designed for cooking, created by a New York City sommelier who got sober after working at Michelin-starred restaurants and curating award-winning wine lists. This vinegar is an excellent way to make any meal special with very little effort. Check out some of the easy recipes at sourhumanoid.com. And we've had Nick on an episode before. He's, you know, a fellow sober entrepreneur, and we're excited to have Sour Humanoid sponsor this episode.
It's an amazing story, and I will give a brief testimonial just because I don't cook, but I have sent Sour Humanoid gift packs as gifts over the holidays to a couple of my friends who are big cooks, and it got rave reviews. So user tested, customer tested. And all thumbs up.
Hello, everybody. It's Tawny, joined by my fabulous co-host.
Lisa, what's up, my love?
Hey, Puddin. How are you, Puddin?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good.
We have a topic.
Let's talk about our physical health. We have been 5 years, FYI, five years. Happy fifth anniversary, Lisa.
We've been doing this and almost 200th episode.
Yes, we've been doing this for a long time, and we obviously talk a lot about mental health. Today, we're going to talk about our physical health, but also how that impacts our mental health. For me personally, I currently am I'm on the better end of bronchitis. I get these flare-ups about once or twice a year, and it's just usually a cold that turns into a bad cough, which leads into chest congestion and which also impacts my anxiety, which is super fun. And every time, you know, I go to the doctor when I feel this way, and the doctor's always like, well, how often are you using your inhaler? And I'm like, oh yeah, I need one of those. because my asthma flare-ups are so infrequent, I forget that I have asthma. As I'm 37 and I forget that I have asthma. So I now have an inhaler and I'm using it, and I'm on steroids to help with the bronchitis, and steroids make me crazy, Lisa. I'm very sensitive to prednisone, so they had to put me on something, a lighter steroid, which I'm still sensitive to. It makes me very, I feel like I've had so much coffee. Are you sensitive to steroids at all?
I think I have never actually been on steroids.
Okay.
But I am married to a doctor who, you know, has to prescribe steroids, has talked to, you know, everybody. And they're heavy duty. Like they're, you know, they will help you, but they will also, you know, have a big impact. It's not easy to be on steroids.
It's really difficult. Just like I'm not sleeping well because I'm just amped up, and I don't like that feeling. But I do like the feeling of being able to breathe. So I'll take it. So the reason I wanted to bring this up was just like, you know, I was at the doctor a couple days ago, and when he was like, when's the last time you used your inhaler? I literally laughed because I was just like, wow, you and I talk about our toolkits all the time, and mine are more metaphorical. I have these literal tools that I need to use that I just forget that I need to use, I guess. And
yeah.
I have my inhaler right here.
Yeah.
And I've used it several times over the last few days. Believe it or not, I can breathe a lot better using my inhaler, Lisa.
Yeah. Yeah. So two things about that. I think one is that it's so easy sometimes when we are generally, you know, we take such better care of ourselves in recovery than before. And it's easy to fall into a rut of like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine. You know, the physical stuff, you know, yeah, I've got it. Oh, yeah, I have an inhaler, but I manage. My bronchitis isn't that bad. But then to sort of lose track of it a little bit, right? Like it just kind of falls by the wayside and we forget. And I wonder if that is a sort of a piece that is missing, I don't know, for me, out of, because I'll talk about my experience too, but out of our toolkit of like, am I, my checklist when I take a mental health check of myself every morning when I wake up, like, hey, how's my brain? How am I doing today? I need to take a physical one too. Like, am I doing the things that I need to be doing to take care of myself? And for me, one of the biggest examples, I've talked about this before on the podcast, is my back, right? I have degenerative disc disease, and this has been going on since like my early 40s. So it's been a long time, but it's degenerative disease. So it's been getting much worse over the last few years. And I know that, you know, I have flare ups where it's really, you know, it's bad. And I know that if I just do my physical therapy exercises as I'm supposed to, like every day, there's a good chance that it won't be as bad as it gets, right? But I start going, my back feels fine. I don't, you know, whatever today. And then it goes down that hill. And it's the thing is like with what I have in particular, and I have stenosis also with that.
What is that?
It's like a hardening and a stiffening of the discs at the same time they're degenerating. It's not good. And, but stenosis is very common. Stenosis happens to everyone, you know, over time. And, you know, people have disc issues over time. Mine just sort of came earlier and are, you know, a little more intense, but I know at least if I have been, so what happens is I get a flare up and I'm like, why wasn't I doing my PT? I get mad at myself, right? At least if I've been doing my PT stuff, I'd be like, well, I've been doing my PT, so this isn't, you know. I mean, so when I'm not, I start beating myself up. Like, you know, you're an idiot. You should have just been doing those things, you know, whatever. Clearly, even though it's not clear that it's like a direct causation at all between...
Yeah, I get it. It's still something you're like, it's something you could have controlled.
Right. And it gives me a rationalization to beat up on myself. Right. So then it starts impacting. Now I don't just like feel the pain in my back. And I'm just like, I'm like, I usually have to be flat out for a day or two. And, you know, I can't just handle that and be in a place where I'm like, okay, my back is messed up. My back's out today. I'm just going to take care of it. I have to be in a place where I'm like, sit laying here. I'm an idiot. This never would have happened if I had just done my PT, even though that's not clear. And so I get, so I spend the time, not just in physical pain, but in a bunch of mental pain, beating myself up and blaming myself and being like, well, I don't really deserve any help today, not feeling well, because I brought this on myself. Like that's where the tie-in, that's why it's to me, you know, and every time I do the same thing, I'm like, I'm definitely going to be doing the PT. I'm definitely going to be doing the PT. I do it for a couple of weeks and then I stop. Like and I don't have an answer here. I'm just sort of flagging the issue.
I mean, I think it's so, maybe validating is the word. It's validating to hear these stories, I think, because we all have our own version of this, you know, like knock on wood, I don't have anything like that, but I do know that there are things that I need to do to regularly take care of my asthma that are preventative. And I know that when I have a cold, I need to be extra careful because it can turn into bronchitis. And I just didn't do anything about it. And it could have been a lot better. Instead, I had this horrendous cough for 2 weeks until Nick finally, he was like, he came, I was laying in bed, just like hacking up a lung. He brought me some tea and he put his hand on my knee and he was like, you need to see a doctor about this.
I love Nick.
And he was like, and I know you hate going to the doctor. Maybe you can do telehealth. Like, he was really trying to meet me where I was. And so the next day I went to the doctor and, you know, and I appreciate that I have someone who is advocating for my health. And I, when I got home from the doctor that day, I was just like, I got my steroids and I got my inhaler. And I was like, Nick, I really could use some help. If you could remind me, like when I have bad cough attacks, if you could just remind me that I have an inhaler, that would be super helpful.
Oh my God.
And that he's already, it's only been a few days and he's already like, I the other night I was coughing up a lung and he was like, you have an inhaler. And I was like, yes, thank you. I already forgot. And then he also on that end, sometimes one of the medications that he takes, the side effect is, appetite suppressant. So he's like, I need you to, can you remind me to eat when I take this medication?
Yeah.
Can you remind me to eat? Because I'll forget. So we know the medications that we need and we know the side effects. So we've let each other know, hey, can you please help me with this? And so when he's on his medication, that's when I'm like, okay, he's getting hangry probably because he hasn't eaten. So I'm just like, here's a sandwich, eat this and you're going to feel better.
Yeah. No, it's true. It's true. And it does, it is something that we don't, I tend to not you know, put it, I don't know what it is, that thing that makes me not do the, you know, get lazy on this stuff. Because I would also say to myself, you don't really feel like doing it today, so don't do it. I get caught in a trap.
How long do these exercises take you?
10 minutes, 15 minutes. It's really not that bad.
And like, what are some of the, like, are they,
I feel like
are
I'm
you
in therapy right now.
are you standing? Like, what are the exercises? Do you have to lay down?
No, it's all like, on the floor. It's all core work. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Core my glutes and yeah. But anyway.
I know it sucks. I mean, even when I broke my toe, I had to be really careful of things I couldn't do. And Nick broke his ankle last year. He had to do PT stuff every single day. And I had to, that was another thing. He was like, I need you to remind me to do my physical
PT, right?
Cause
it's
tough.
Yeah.
It's not fun. Like, let's be real. Like, it's not a fun thing to do. So
with your toe, like how did that, when you broke your toe in the middle of 8,000 things going on, how did that impact your mental health and how did you work to help in that way?
So
like, what'd you do about that?
When I broke my toe and I was in a boot and my podiatrist said to avoid exercise for 2 weeks, just to stay off my foot as much as possible for 2 weeks. So I did that. Mind you, I had adopted a 3-month-old puppy just 2 weeks before. So staying off my feet was not an option, but I had to walk as little as possible. So I took the 2 weeks off from the gym and I got severely depressed. It was not a good place for me. And so I talked to I work with a personal trainer and I talked to them. It's a husband and a wife. They own a local studio uptown. And I was just like, look, I'm going crazy. I need to work out. How can we modify? What can we do? So I went back to the gym and I didn't ask my podiatrist first. I was just like, I need to do this. You know, I understand. Cause she would have just said, you need to rest. Cause she's doing what she's supposed to do. But felt like I was going to die. So, my personal trainer worked with me. I couldn't do lunges. I couldn't do squats. So I did upper body and core work for months.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and I just now got to the point where I can do lunges again and I can do squats and kettlebell swings. And God, I remember trying to do kettlebell swings, and this is going to be gross. I could hear my toe clicking. Like I heard the bones clacking. But I will say that was my barometer. I would every once in a while I'd do kettlebell swings and I'd be like, all right, it's still clicking. Then I would try it 2 weeks later, and then it's like it's not clicking anymore. I knew, okay, it's getting better. But and I will say I also do a lot of yoga. So I modified my yoga. I told my yoga teacher I need to modify heavily. So, and you know, I went on a yoga retreat. I signed up for this yoga retreat, and you know, it was, I broke my toe and the yoga retreat was a month away. And I'm like, well, shit, like, what am I going to do?
Oh my God,
and
so
I was just like, I'm going, I don't care. I just heavily modified. And I did mostly, I knew what I needed to do. And I was like, I need to be on a beach in Mexico, not working. And like, yes, yoga is a big part of this retreat, but I needed the vacation more than I needed the yoga. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go. And I'm so glad that I went. And my teacher and the friends that I made there, they were all super helpful, like helping me if like I couldn't really walk around as well, bringing me ice for my toe. Like, you know, it was, everyone was very sweet and supportive. But I will say this conversation's reminding me how important it is to ask for help. Like I said, I asked my yoga teacher, Emma, I was like, I need help doing yoga this week because I want to do all of the yoga classes while I'm in Mexico, but I don't want to hurt myself. What do I do? So she worked with me. I could have been really stubborn and just tried to do it and then hurt myself even more. And I asked Nick, I was like, remind me I have an inhaler. That is me asking for help. And I didn't even go to the doctor before I got sober. Like I went a good 10 years without health insurance at all. Because this was back in the day when you turn 18 and you're off your parents' health insurance. So
right.
Now it's 26, but so from 18 to 28, I did not have health insurance. So I didn't go to the doctor or the dentist unless shit hit the fan, unless I was really, really sick. So this is still like going to the doctor, going to the dentist, advocating for my health is still very new for me.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And it is a learned skill, right? It is a learned reaction because we tend to react to things physical, you know, and as well as mental and just be like, you know, I'm going to power through. It's not that bad. I'm okay. And, you know, we have to, and it goes to our mental health and our sobriety is being able, you know, learning to be able to ask for help and go, wait a minute. Yeah. I mean, I don't need to go to the ER, but something is up and I need to address it. I need to, you know, take it because it's not just about my physical health. It's also about how my mental health is going to be.
Totally.
This
also reminds me, there's a great quote from Oprah. Do you know Oprah? Up and coming writer named Oprah.
Yeah.
look out for her. She has this great quote where she says, listen to the whisper before it becomes a scream. And I think of that often, especially when, you know, like with the cough, with any physical stuff or any, I can feel when my anxiety becomes visceral. Like when I cannot breathe, I know that, okay, you need to slow down. This isn't, if you can't breathe, you can't do whatever it is you're doing. So I think of that quote where I'm just like, okay, like this is the whisper. My body is telling me something. I can listen to it now, or I can listen to it when it's literally screaming at me.
Right. I can wait. It's not going to go away. So either I can listen to it now, or it's going to, you know, just get louder until it's screaming.
And we've both learned the hard way that drinking and pretending that a problem isn't real
doesn't actually make the problem go away. Unfortunately, you have to actually deal with it.
That was a hard lesson. Oh, but it's so true. It's so true. Yeah. Do you have music that, I mean, when I think about like sickness, my music minute would be using like the two songs I really like about fever. Like, even though we aren't talking about fever, Springsteen's The Fever is amazing. And not surprising that it was supposed to go on his second album, The Wild, the Innocent, and the Easter Shuffle, but was like an outtake and then got released much later. But The Fever by Bruce is amazing. And I also like the Black Keys Fever. Mm. You like that one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. I mean, and Kylie Minogue has a song called Fever. And then what's that classic that everyone's covered? I'm not going to sing it.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah. I like that you said, I didn't even think about that because I was just going more of the Help route of.
Yeah, you're thinking of Peggy Lee's The Fever that everybody covers.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I'm just thinking of Help. I Need Somebody Help.
Yes.
You know, yes. It's like, because you have to learn how to advocate for your own health. And that can mean something as simple as going to the dentist twice a year. It can mean something as complicated as finding the right medication for your depression. All of the hoops you have to jump through to get on the right medication, to find the right physical therapist, to find the right doctor. It's not fun. Like, let's just be very candid about that. It's not fun. And which is why I didn't go to the doctor for 10 years until I got on health insurance and I got sober. Cause I was like, why would I do that? That's so boring.
That's so boring. Also, like, what if they find something? I don't care.
Yeah.
I just did not care.
I will say, shout out to Planned Parenthood, because the only doctor that I went to during those 10 years, I was regular going to Planned Parenthood because I paid what I could. I got my pap smears there. I got my birth control from there. I had, cancer screening there, a colposcopy. Like, I had a lot of medical work done at Planned Parenthood that I would have not been able to do if I didn't have a sliding scale place to do it.
Right. Right. That's a really good point.
Yeah.
It's
such a valuable resource. I'm really grateful is an option. And it's not just for women. Planned Parenthood also has men's sexual health options too. So if you don't have health insurance, that is something that you can at least look into, is finding doctors that do have sliding scales, and places like Planned Parenthood do that.
Yeah. That is, thank you for bringing that up. That is a really important point, because access is such an issue.
Yes. Access is an issue. And the adulting is just freaking hard, Lisa.
Adulting is hard. Yeah. I've been adulting for a long time now. It's hard.
Yeah, there's really no other option. So I guess I'll stick it out. You gotta do it.
And if you deal with these things sort of up front, you don't have to deal with them later.
Yes, that's real.
Except a broken toe. And Jesus. Now you have your inhaler.
I have my inhaler and my toe no longer clicks, so I'm pretty much perfect now.
She's on track. I love it. All right. Well, you feel good, my love. Get better. Feel better.
Do your exercises.
I know.
Now I'm going to text you randomly to do your exercises.
I know. Well, I have another MRI. I have to go have another MRI in a few days. So I'll get the update, and I will once again, when I go get an MRI, I'm always like, I've got to do those exercises. So I'm going to start out strong.
I'm here for you.
Okay.
I love you. And if you're listening, do something. We always want you to do something for your mental health, but do something for your physical health today. Like, make that dentist appointment you've been you've been pushing back, like make that doctor's appointment that you've been procrastinating on. Like, this is the sign to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And be healthy.
Be healthy. Take care of yourself. And we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening. We hope you like what you heard. If so, please hit subscribe and consider rating and reviewing us so others can find us. Tawny, how can our listeners find you?
You can find me at Tawny M. Lara on all of the social medias. You can find my blog, Sobriety Party, sobrietyparty.com. Lisa, how can we find you and your amazing book?
My book is Girl Walks Out of a Bar, and it is available at bookstores everywhere and online. And you can find me at lisasmithadvisory.com. And I'm on social media at Girl Walks Out. Thanks for listening.